Star Market Celtics tonight continues from five-serve form in Milwaukee. You're going to take some time to get used to that and to see the Bradley Center ripped apart as part of the demolition and the Celtics' debut here in this new building in Milwaukee, where the head coach actually visited last night. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. How on earth did you get a Butler game in Milwaukee on the only night we have here this year?
You know this. We've talked about it. One of the first things I do after our schedule comes out is I wait for the release of the Butler non-conference and conference schedule and look at the Indiana games when we're on the road and see if we can, you know, tag into a game there. But it hasn't been the case. I've only been able to make one Providence game in my 6 years here. We've been on the road every other time, and we were just really lucky that they played here last night. It was great to see those guys, and although the result wasn't what we all wanted, it was a heck of a team they were playing against. It was fun to be there.
Talk to every player, talk to everybody involved in strength and conditioning and managing this crazy season. Everyone will tell you the physical benefits of getting away for a few days and how everybody has to do it, almost no matter what your role is in this crazy merry-go-round that we're on. How hard is it to get away from the game mentally when you have days to do it? It seems to be easier to turn your body off than to turn your brain off.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get away. You're not going to get away from it mentally. I think you're always just kind of engaged in it. You do your best to break away for hours in the day or whatever the case may be. But every day, especially from a coaching standpoint, you're working on what you need to do to prepare to present to the team the next time you're together. And then, you know, the first practice back is important. So we've got a chance to have some good workouts individually and then get, you know, practice now under our belt, a shoot-around under our belt. And, you know, we got a tough one tonight.
And many tough ones the rest of the way. Obviously, you know, everyone knows what the schedule is, and it is, you know, however you rank them, fifth or sixth toughest schedule that anybody has to play. Is this the best time for this team to be playing a tough schedule heading towards the playoffs?
Well, I think the one thing is you're always going to learn more about yourself. You know, we're getting a chance to see all these teams with all their new acquisitions, which I think is important and good. You're going to see them at full strength. You know, we played that Philly team. There was no injuries. We play these guys, no injuries, nobody missing. So, you know, ultimately you're learning a lot about, you know, what that team wants to try to accomplish, how they're going to attack you, things that might work in your favor. There's a lot of information to take from these games.
I can already feel people starting to go into overdrive with the math and the number of wins it would take to get here or there and the standings. You've always said from the beginning, from the first year, just want to get better as the season goes on. Where in your mind is there the most room for that growth for this team over the final 24 games?
I think with this team, that, you know, I think with every team, that's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what your seed is. You know, if you're not improving and you're not ready when it's all on the line, then you're in trouble. And, you know, we've been fortunate that our last few teams have really gotten better and really played well, you know, up until that Eastern Conference final and have given ourselves a chance to go to the finals. But I think, you know, the one thing that stands out with this team is it's a lot more important this year because of the hole we dug ourselves early to really focus on that improvement and to make sure that no matter where we're seated, we're ready to roll. And to me, the two things that stand out when we're great is we play with a presence defensively, and you can see it in the way that we impact the basketball. The person with the basketball not only knows that there's the guy on him and he feels him, but there are four guys that are ready to help and all moving and connected together. Then on the other end of the court, I think we've done a pretty good job of sharing the ball. I think we've done a pretty good job in moments of attacking offensively. I just think we have to be even more cognizant of the matchups we want to attack and how we want to play, the purpose with which we need to play each and every night. How about the last two games before break were two of our better ones in that regard?
There's not a lot of doubt in my mind. I've talked about it all year that I think start to finish, consistency in so many other ways, this has been Milwaukee, the best team in the league all year. And while you're talking about improving from game one to game 82, what is so striking to me is how this team got so much better from a 44-win team last year, sitting with 43 wins now. They added Lopez. All that's true. But how does a team get so much better from 1 year to the next with largely the same personnel?
Well, first of all, I think one of the big mistakes everybody makes year to year as they're getting ready to analyze the upcoming season is they don't take into account the improvement and the motivation of players. And obviously, when you look at those guys, and there was a great article on Bledsoe a few weeks ago about how personal he took that playoff loss. And guys get better. These guys are young players who are working hard to improve. Every experience, good or bad, is something that they can take to learn from. So, number one is a lot of their guys are playing at a better level. I think Bledsoe's playing great. Brogdon's playing great. Middleton's an all-star. Giannis is Giannis. But I do think you can't underestimate the impact of shooting, which now they've added Lopez, Hill, Mirotić, and Ilyasova, and the impact of structure. And the reason I say that is because when Bud came, he played a lot of five-out last year, and the way that they're playing now with smaller lineups, that fits the five-out. Now, last year when we played them in the playoffs, they gave us fits when they were big, and so it's an interesting dynamic. But they're just so good on both ends with those smaller lineups.
It really seems. To me, I think people underestimate the danger. That's enough. It's a bad word. But the potential downside of making a significant change or an addition at the trade deadline when you have a team that's playing well. I'm sitting here as we're talking. I'm up in the booth, and you're down in the locker room, and I'm watching Mirotić shoot about 6-8 feet behind the three-point line, shooting those Steph Curry threes. And he almost seems like, with all the conversation that went on at the deadline, it was almost the perfect addition to this team.
Yeah, he's a really good addition. It makes total sense. It protects him in the case that him or Ilyasova get injured. You know, it's just another guy they can put on the court, and they don't have to put him on the court, right? They could play DJ Wilson if they want. They just have a lot of bodies to throw in there that are all skilled. They all know how to play, and they all get the great benefit of playing with the best driver around.
That's the head coach. There were so many different topics we could have delved into tonight, which obviously we're not going to, because I think most of us have had our fill, including you tanking that Levitard thing today on purpose. I went back and listened to that. I mean, that was some of your best work, I think, that you've ever done. But this was my...
Everybody's got to strive for something.
Listen, no one does it better. But watching the game Sunday night, watching the All-Star game, my eyes were drawn to Mike Malone during the early part of the game, and it made me wonder this, as he's watching the thing go back and forth. You served in that role a couple of years ago, and this was my intellectual curiosity. When, as a coach, do you call a timeout in the All-Star game? How many plays that would force you to call a timeout in a regular game have to go by before you call a timeout?
I saw Mike call one. Things were going against him in the first quarter, and I saw him call one, and I was laughing. I was thinking the exact same thing. I don't remember calling one that wasn't going to be a mandatory anyways, because I really didn't have anything to say. And it's not really – what I said wouldn't have been, you know, really important anyways. It was like, you know, it's hard to draw anything up when you don't know where everybody's going to be from the standpoint of how – if the other team's even going to be back on defense or not. So, it's a fun experience. I didn't go into that game worrying about how many timeouts I needed to take back with me to the locker room.
Well, as long as you had fun, because that's our theme this year. We're going to have fun the rest of the way. Celtics and Bucks next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.